And welcome back to the Bicycle Indiana podcast, Life Behind Bars. Margaret B., Executive Director. This week, we are talking to three gentlemen, three great guys that I've met over the last couple of years that are helping with Indianapolis trail systems, mountain biking. And it is a great discussion talking about how to get involved with your local trails, but also the importance of volunteering, as well as what trails and being part of a group like this can do for you, you know, your riding, as well as your family. So really cool discussion. Again, if you're not a member, please go to our website, www.bicycleindiana.org. Check us out. Join, become a member. That helps us keep rolling, as well as just check us out on social media. We have Facebook and Instagram. But yeah, really excited about this discussion, and I hope everyone enjoys it. Welcome back. Bicycle Indiana's podcast, Life Behind Bars. Margaret B. here. Super stoked to have three gentlemen on this call. It's taken a long time to get all of them on a phone call to talk about a really great organization group that's in the Indianapolis area and talking about mountain biking. So everyone, welcome to the call. But I'm going to first just start off with some introductions, and I'm going to put Terry on the spot. You want to take a moment to introduce yourself and where you're located and how you got involved?
Yeah, sounds good. So my name's Terry Mitchell, and I am kind of the lead trail steward at Town Run Trail Park. A couple of years ago when Paul Arlinghouse moved away, I just kind of tried to fill the void that was left, and have been going with it ever since. And so yeah, I've been riding mountain bikes for like 20 years, which is kind of crazy to say. And I live in Carmel, just north of Indianapolis. So I'm able to get to Town Run and some of the other trails a lot.
Nice. Nice. Well, welcome. Adam, putting you on the spot.
My name's Adam Fox. I'm a Southsider, lifelong. And I am the trail steward and board member at large for Southwest Way Park down here on the south side. I took over for David Gardner, who was the original trail bum in there after everything was built by HMBA back in 2009. And he retired from service, if you will, about 5-6 years ago. So I kind of helped take over for that. And we have built quite a good group down there to help us maintain the trail. So
nice.
I got into road biking about 2009 or 2010, and then I have some friends who are pretty avid mountain bikers who got me into it, and the rest is history, as you say. I just ride everywhere I can with my friends. I'm on the Grey Goat mountain bike team, and yeah, so I'm sure we'll get into more about all this later.
Welcome. Thank you. Andrew, last but not least.
Yeah. Hi. Thanks for having us. Andrew McMullen, been, I guess, loosely involved originally with HMBA for, man, a little over 20 years ago is when I first, I guess, met him. So did trail work right at 20 years ago in college. And my wife and I moved away and for 5 years. And then when we moved back to Indiana to start a family. Was just really impressed at all that had, evolved in the, in the local outdoor scene, mountain biking, even like, rail to trail paths and connectivity and stuff to that. So was really excited to, try to get involved. I've got three kids and, trying to get them involved and just riding is a big part of, what we do as a family. And was really excited to, I guess, get a chance to start. Started out just doing trail work, and then ended up, I guess, loosely getting invited to the HMBA board. And then Terry and I met a number of years ago during kind of the peak of COVID when Town Run and obviously so many people trying to get outdoors and recreate in the parks, I think was a bit at a loss on how to handle it. And kind of reached out to the community at large, trying to get a group together to, you know, help take care of, I guess, steward the trail. And got involved in that in the Town Run Advisory Council. And I recently, I guess, was voluntold to be the treasurer for HMBA. So stepped into that role and tried to work with Terry and Fred and Deshaun and a bunch of the folks out at Town Run.
Yeah. Well, welcome. I usually try to kind of think of the first time I met everyone. And Terry, I really remember when I met you, which was at Gear Up for the NICA team that you were interested in, and that was, you know, years ago. And Adam and Andrew, I feel like the last year, I think I've just met you at events and just seen you around on trails or mutual friends. Mm-hmm. And I'm really excited, like I said, to have all of you on this call because there's a lot of history in this discussion today. And so for our listeners, the official topic tonight is the Indy Trail Collective, which is formerly known as HMBA, which is Hoosier Mountain Bike Association. And we're going to dive real deep into talking about the history, but also what's going on and how you can get involved. So I'm going to start off right now talking about the history. So I'm going to put Terry on the spot because he is a teacher and he's great at talking. Can you talk a little bit about the history of the Hoosier Mountain Bike Association, which is the original name of this group?
Margaret, you're really lucky that I got my second screen out and I got my notes. Otherwise, I'd be at a loss right now. So Hoosier Mountain Bike Association was formed in 2004 to try to meet the needs of Indiana's mountain bike community and kind of the expansion from there. I don't know much of the history before 2004, except for that one of the like OG trail groups that kind of morphed into HMBA was called the Spoke Breakers, which I always thought was just such a cool name.
Yeah.
So we started in Brown County and Versailles and moved across the state, helping expand stuff. And then we started to get, over the last few years, local chapters have, you know, the priority switched from being a statewide, everybody's got to advocate at once. Because for a while it was like, if mountain bikers are going to advocate from Indiana, we're only going to listen to one group. And then it has kind of morphed back into a more local aspect. So over the last few years, some chapters have broken off on their own. So SIMBA, Southeast Indiana Mountain Bike Association in Brown County, they're both now their own 501c3s. And then for HMBA, the Hoosier Mountain Bike Association, we're kind of launching. This is the first real formal year for a real chapter program. So we have three chapters. There's O'Bannon Woods HMBA chapter down at O'Bannon. There's Tippecanoe Mountain Bike Association in the Tippecanoe area. And being someone who went to Purdue, the trails there have just like exploded. Yeah. There was hardly anything to ride when I went there. And now there's stuff all over that I'll actually drive up just to see. And then we've got the Indy Trail Collective is the newest of the three. You know, we've been doing the same work. We're just putting a name on it and a little more structure. And that's allowing us to be more grassroots, more community focused, more locally focused, and really hone in on our own individual things while HMBA is like our overarching umbrella brings us all together.
Okay. That was one of my questions was why the name change, but it's not a name change. It's just another chapter that's being added to HMBA.
Yeah, correct. Right. So when Brown County went into their own 501c3, that was kind of a game changer for funding for the way the funding structure had always been. And so it was the Indy Trail Collective is just kind of the natural progression from there into formalizing our Indy area.
Yeah. And for our listeners, I interviewed Alan Brown, who is the vice president or president of the Brown County Trail System, if you want to listen to about, you know, what they're doing down there. But Andrew or Adam, do you have anything else to add? Or Terry, do you have any more things to add about the specific history?
I mean, I can jump in a little. So, yeah, I mean, the goal when it was statewide, obviously, was, you know, mountain biking in the state was pretty new at that point in time. You know, the access that we did have was just areas where, you know, there might have been motorcycle trails or whatever. So it was really trying to put a focus on, you know, the need and the desire and the positive outcome that could come with natural surface trails, right, that were, you know, bike and hike focused. There was obviously a push, I think, during that time too, for, you know, building outdoor recreation in the state of Indiana to try to attract companies and people to come work here. So there was some money, you know, injected into it as well in outdoor recreation. And obviously in order to even apply for grants or do those kinds of things, you know, you have to be a legitimate organization, you know, 501c3. So, it really, you know, helped, I guess, spearhead the growth that we saw in all the different trails across the state. And then, as Terry mentioned, you know, where the goal kind of is, HMBA will still be kind of like a cost share. So, and I think we're going to talk about it later, but, you know, some of the things that come up, like insurance and all these kind of things, that the very unsexy side of what we do,
yeah.
But very necessary, right? And so HMBA is still going to fill that need, you know, on a statewide advocacy level, potentially. And then the goal is that these chapters can really link arms and show up and have those local relationships like Adam has in Southwest Way and Terry has at, you know, Town Run, and the folks at O'Bannon have down south, and all that kind of stuff. And so it is more of that local grassroots, but kind of behind the scenes, we have a bigger, broader group that we can then share resources from, is the goal.
Absolutely. Adam, did you want to say anything? No? Okay.
I didn't really have much to add. No, sorry.
No, that's great. I'm really, like I said, I was at the Paul Arlinghouse kind of era when I came into NICA and the mountain bike world, and even just moving here from Michigan. And I feel like this is a really great discussion for me personally, because one, I like to learn, but also it's a whole different kind of, like you said, chapter, a whole different book now, with what you're trying to do and trying to accomplish as a group. So yeah, I'm really looking forward to this discussion. So, okay. So part of HMBA, Indy Collect, you have trails that you manage, and you mentioned this before. You have Southwest Way, which is the southern part of Indianapolis. Mm-hmm. You have Town Run, which is kind of the center of Indianapolis. And then you have Fort Harrison, correct? Which is kind of what, the
northeast corner?
Yeah. Mm-hmm. And then O'Bannon.
O'Bannon is under its own chapter.
Oh,
and
oh, sorry.
So they're down, they're like pretty much on the river. Southern Kentucky,
way down south.
Southern Kentucky, no, Southern Indiana.
Yeah.
So they have their own group
okay.
that manages them. Like the Indy Trail Collective is just those three trails that you mentioned.
Okay. And what's interesting too, is I have a lot of people that either live in Indianapolis or live near, and they're like, what, there's a trail in Indianapolis, a mountain bike trail? I'm like, yeah, Town Run. One of my board members was shocked. And then he went to the trail system. He said it was absolutely fun. So let's talk about the three trails. I'm going to put the individuals on this call, since you are kind of like the leaders of the trails. Adam, I'm going to put you on the spot. You want to talk a little bit about Southwest Way?
Yeah, I'll do it with no notes too. Southwest Way is the second or third largest park in Indy Park System. Interesting tidbit, Man Hill is the second highest location in Indianapolis, second to
Crown Hill
Cemetery. So it is about a 900 acre park. We have a little over 10 miles of trails there. They are multi-use trails. So we have hikers, runners, and equestrians at this park. We have worked hard over the years to get a broader representation of the user groups to help maintain the trails and spread the work around. We had a great meeting this year, and we had some equestrians show up. So we're going to have a lot of good involvement here. So it's just a great little park. We have the river. We have an Oxbow Lake on the south side of the park, which is a unique part of the park, and also one of the largest natural fen forests, which is a alkaline floodplain forest in the city, and I think possibly, can't remember what they were telling me if it was in the state or not, but it's a very sensitive area that we have to help maintain access to help, I guess, preserve the natural area there. So we have a great core group of about 8 folks who help me coordinate volunteer efforts with dirt work. We have a few jump lines there for mountain bikes. Like I said, there's about 10 miles of trails there, some hike only, some bike only. It's just kind of my favorite place to be. So
yeah,
I don't know what else you need to.
I do remember from racing there, but also trying to host races mm-hmm. there. It drains pretty well, right? Like the terrain it is does. A little bit different.
Man Hill is actually a glacial cane, which is like when the glaciers pushed down, they left this big pile of sand right there. So there's only about 1.5 feet or so of topsoil. Everything else underneath it is sand and gravel. So water drains very, very quickly there. So it's usually one of the first parks in the city after a rain to open back up, right?
Yeah.
I don't know.
That's great.
Dude, that's some awesome info.
Yeah.
I love learning. So that's rad.
Yeah. So Southwest Way, that's Adam's trail system.
That's my home park.
Yeah. All right, Terry, Town Run. Let's talk about Town Run.
So Town Run is located smack dab right off of I-465 and Allisonville Road. We have 7 miles of trail. It's disputable. Some people say it's a little less. Some people say it's a little more. But we got about 7 miles of trail. And Town Run has a rich history, too. A lot like Southwest Way has got that cool history. One of our features that everybody always talks about is Tetanus Hill. Hill is just a scrap pile of metal. We were a quarry long, long time ago. And when they left the quarry, the equipment that was broke down or that was not cost effective to take, they just put in a big long strip and buried it. And so we get random pieces of metal occasionally poking out. We try not to mess with them because the more you dig at it, the more metal comes with it. And so we just try to kind of embrace that and flow around it. One of the other interesting things about Town Run is that the land for Town Run isn't actually owned by Indy Parks, although it's an Indy park. So it's on, I've heard it referred to as 100-year leases, basically indefinite leases to the city from Martin Marietta. And the homeowners association that it backs up to, as well as SILTI, which is a environmental protection group.
Land Trust.
There you go. Thank you. Central Indiana Land Trust. And so we have to deal with not only having to contact through the parks, but we have to go through those landowners as well and manage that. And so it is a delicate balance to just make sure that everyone stays content and happy and is happy with the product that we're putting out. And just like Adam at Southwest Way, we're also on the river, same river, ironically, a ways away, but we're right next to the river. We don't drain quite so well. So Town Run is made up of Jesse silt loam. And Jesse silt loam is highly susceptible to molding. So when we're wet, it leaves ruts. And if they dry out, they're a pain to get rid of. If we can get tires on it before they're all the way dry, they kind of smooth themselves out. We actually experienced that this week on Tuesday. But if we can't get tires on it before they dry out, it can really cause a lot of work to get those ruts dug back out after people use it. We're very cross-country focused because that's the way our terrain lends itself. And so we have, I would like to break it up into three sections. So we've got kind of the first section is like your traditional Indiana woods that you would think of. And then you pop into a lot of people call it the savannah or the desert. It's actually a prairie, but you pop into this beautiful prairie. And a lot of people hate on the prairie because they say it's boring. But I love the prairie. I think it's beautiful. I love pedaling through it. I think it's so cool to be out there in the middle of nature. And like, you know, there's constantly bald eagles flying over or deer in the prairie or snakes, turtles, all sorts of cool stuff. And then you flow right through the prairie and you go right next to 465 and watch everybody at 430 all jammed up, being irritated in their cars while you got a smile on your face right by them. And that is one of the best feelings in the world to know you're not stuck in traffic.
I usually wave when I go by.
And then you kind of come back into the trail, depending on the way we're going, because we alternate directions. But you come back and the end, depending on the season, feels kind of like a haunted dark forest to me. Sometimes the trees get a little tighter and a little twistier, and it can be that darkness. So it's really a cool place to experience a bunch of different stuff. And it's an accessible trail. My mom, she comes out and rides it with me. And my daughter rides it with me. We've ridden with Andrew's kids. Like, it's a fun family place.
And I will say for our listeners, there's a lot of fun signage, lots of great signage, and there's a big bell that you can smack with your hand when you go riding by. Or your head, Adam pointed to his head. Yep. And then also it's directional. Do you want to explain the directional changes? That's new relatively in the last couple of years, right?
Yeah. So we went to a directional system because we wanted to effectively expand the usable trail in the city. So, you know, our trail's 7 miles, give or take. And so by having it reverse directions based on the day, it's like two different experiences. So if you show up on Saturday, you ride it one way. If you show up on Sunday, you ride it the other. And they both have their pros and cons and their challenges. And they are significantly different in the way that they feel. And so we have Monday, Wednesday, Friday, Sunday are the what people consider the traditional direction. For the people who have been riding there a long time, and that's clockwise. And then we have Tuesday, Thursday, Saturday, and that's counterclockwise. We're trying to get away from the forward and backwards notation because that implies you're doing something wrong. Clockwise and counterclockwise. And so we fundraised to put signage out and try to do a good job with signage. We built a new entry, like a gatekeeper entry last year, so that people had to slow down as they were coming into the trail. And I think it's really cool when you travel a lot, like everyone on the call does to ride, and a lot of the listeners, you know, you see all these cool ideas, and Michigan has it right with dual directional trails most places. Mm-hmm. So we really just tried to follow their model.
Yeah. And that prairie section, I've had multiple people, because I've posted on my Instagram or Strava or whatever, and they're like, where are you riding in Indiana? And I'm right. Like, in Indianapolis. And they're like, what?
Yeah.
Yeah. All right. So that's Town Run. Andrew, you want to talk about Fort Harrison? Fort Bend. Yeah. No, with a D. And Kelsey Devereaux at Motion Cycling was like, Margaret, it's Ben, like Benjamin. Yeah. I was like, oh, not Bend. Like a bend in the road. Anyway, go ahead, Andrew.
Yeah, sure. So trail boss there is Jason Hilt. He would probably be better to speak to it, but yeah, I'll do the best I can. So it's my understanding that the fort was actually one of the original OG mountain bike trails in the city. It was originally Town Run, but it was on the north side of the river from where we are now, where the trail is now. And it was a lot shorter. And then the trails at Fort Harrison, when it was still an active military base, were kind of the two original, OG trails in the city. And, they, after the military base, quit being active, and it became, you know, a, state park, mountain biking actually got removed from there. So there was a period of time where there wasn't any trail access for mountain bikers in that park. And then a number of years ago, Paul and, you know, some of the old time HMBA folks, you know, advocated and, you know, were able to, I think they got some grant money because some of it was machine built. There was some big volunteer groups that helped build some of that trail. I think Cummins was actually one of them. They did a big dig day there and helped build trail, and they were able to reestablish two trails. So there's kind of a, there's technically three. There's a beginner. Yep. There's about a mile long beginner trail that's very flat. And then there's the intermediate trail and the expert trail. And the intermediate and the expert are basically like a figure eight loop. And there's a gravel parking lot kind of between the two in the park. You know, you can park a number of different places and access the trail, but that seems to be the most common, is to kind of park in the middle and ride them. But there's, I think about 7.5 miles of combined trail there, if I'm not mistaken. And, it is a really cool park, for being in the city. You know, the, it's very densely wooded, beautiful, you know, old growth trees and things like that. And, you know, it gets really busy. So, you know, it's a state park in the city limits, basically. So, you know, on a nice spring day or whatever, there'll be the line out the gate to get in, you know, will be a 30 plus minute wait just to get into the park. So it can get really busy, but great resource here in town. So great mix of kind of techie, narrow single track with bench cut and things like that. It's much more similar to Southwest Way and the elevation profile and things than Town Run. But just a beautiful, quick place to kind of escape the hustle and bustle of the city and get out in nature.
Definitely. I've been there. I've not mountain biked the trails. I've ran the main loop. But yeah, it's an incredible park. So Adam kind of mentioned this a little bit about his volunteers and how he has a specific group. My next question is, and I'm glad that you brought up that Fort Benjamin Harrison, if I can say it right, not Fort Bend, is a state park. But how does the Indy Trail Collective and HMBA work with these entities, which is city parks and state parks? So I don't know who wants to take that and want to start off with how do you work with the city of Indianapolis or the city parks? Andrew's pointing, maybe Terry. Yeah. Does someone want to take that one?
Sure. It can be very challenging to work with the city parks. And a lot of that, in my opinion, comes down to just the strain of us being advocates for our user groups, and we push, and we don't like to take no for an answer, and we like to explore other options. And a lot of times, that's not the easiest thing for people.
Yeah.
And so occasionally the relationship is strained, but we work hard to make sure that we have open lines of communication with our park managers, and that we are communicating with them what's going on in the trails. We try to make sure the park managers come out. I don't know about Adam's park manager. Our park manager at Town Run is Gideon, and Gideon is awesome. He also manages like three other parks and all of the aquatics in the entire city of Indianapolis. So he's got his hands
overworked. Yeah.
Yeah. Super overworked, dude. And he started mountain biking since he became our park manager. And so we do our best to tiptoe that fine line between pushing for what our user group wants and building and continuing our relationship with the city parks.
Yeah. Adam, did you want to chime in about Southwest Way?
Yeah, if I could add too. Our park manager is Eric, and he's relatively new after our longtime manager, Paul Evans, left. The challenge, like Terry said, is they manage multiple parks. Eric also manages Perry Park, which has a swimming pool and ice skating rink, and it's a large indie parks. You know, if we could advocate a little bit politically here for the city, indie parks is woefully underfunded and it traditionally has been. So we understand the strain and we understand the challenges they have. They've offloaded maintenance to some degree to DPW because they just don't have the maintenance funds available to, you know, mow the grass and plow the streets and take care of things like that. So that's where our role comes to be very important with Indy Parks, right? So the relationship I have with my park manager, Southwest Way, is, you know, I keep them abreast of like major things we need. If there's a road on the south side that gets very overgrown and it's about, I'd say it's about a half a mile long, and I just have to ask, hey, Eric, that's getting kind of tall, and they send out the big tractor lawnmower down there, and they take care of that for us. So having that relationship with Indy Parks is very important for our success, and we do try to foster that as much as possible. You know, we want a lot of extra trails. We want new stuff all the time, and we want to expand. And that relationship is a political dance, right? You have to make sure that Indy Parks is happy with what you're doing so that you're allowed to stay there and still have access to things that you want to do while still providing a good recreational environment for your user groups, right? I need to make sure that the horse folks are happy. I need to make sure that the runners are happy and that the mountain bikers, you know, don't get bored, you know, because there's not enough jumps or skinnies or whatever they want to make out there.
Yeah.
So it's an interesting relationship to try to help manage, because I have a very passionate volunteer group, and a lot of things they want to do is, hey, there's a down tree. I could cut the top off of this tree and make a nice skinny right here. It's like, yeah, but that's not really accessible to everybody, and it's going to be in the way. So we need to do that dance between Indy Parks and HMBA wants, and it's just an important relationship to maintain. So I think we do a pretty good job of taking care of that relationship.
Yeah, definitely. And living here in Terre Haute, where I'm at, having Griffin, it's a whole different world, right? Because It was privately owned, and then now it's county, you know, county, I believe, owned or on county land. Mm-hmm. And then Griffin Bike Park is managed by a park manager, but then there's a nonprofit that raises funds. It's a whole different world here in Terre Haute. And I really appreciate listening to other places, because obviously every place is different, and they have their own ways of doing things. And it sounds like you have developed a really great relationship with your Indy Park representatives.
Yeah, that's an important piece of it.
Yeah,
sure. It is for sure.
Also, go ahead.
Oh, sorry. Yeah. I was going to say too, kind of to piggyback on what Adam and Terry said, you know, it's also one that's evolving, right? So I think HMBA obviously started originally as an advocacy group, right? Not necessarily the trail building arm. And so I think that's where we're a bit unique is, you know, all these trails and miles of trails and everything like that are completely maintained and supported by volunteers and donation, right? Like there is zero, you know, city money or anything that's supporting this, right? So if a tree falls, or we have a storm and there's all kinds of trees down on the trail, that's volunteers like Adam and Terry and all the other folks involved that go out and clear that. And so that money for the chainsaw that they're using and the chainsaw blade and the fuel and all that is all done through the membership dollars for HMBA and donations. So I think that's a little unique too, and something that we're trying to build upon is also, even since I've been here for, you know, about 14 years being back, you know, it's not just a bunch of middle-aged white guys anymore in spandex out there riding, right? Like,
I just pictured that. No, I'm kidding.
Yeah, right. Sorry. Yeah. Sorry about that.
Middle-aged.
We're getting there, Terry. No,
I'm close.
Yeah. Yeah, but it's, you know, it's women, and it's kids and it's minority groups and all this different stuff. And like, honestly, as crazy as it sounds, like I would even say that COVID was a great thing, right? Like the amount of people and new riders and new users, whether they're, you know, runners, Margaret, like you said, running at Fort Bend, like we're all sharing the same resources in a city as big as Indianapolis. There's not a lot, right? You know, we've got, you know, in a city of, I don't know what the population is in Indy, but you're talking basically that we've got, you know, 20 some miles of trail for everyone to use. So that's why it's really important to just to maintain them, but also to advocate for them and tread. And that's why we are so protective. So, you know, we are trying to continue to foster these relationships and let people know that, you know, that it's not, yes, it's not a playground, but it is absolutely just as valuable. And I would argue potentially more so.
Yeah.
So I think that's just something that we get pretty passionate about it, obviously. But it's important, you know, they put up a parking lot, right? Like the song. You know, they're paving everything, and sometimes, you know, you just need a little dirt underneath your fingernails.
That's a song?
Yeah.
Oh, sorry. I'm gonna totally Google that and add it to the no. Huh? So we talked about
paradise and put up a parking lot.
So working with Indy Parks obviously is one task. Who wants to talk about working with the DNR? I have friends with the DNR, you know, colleagues. You know, I'm sure it's a whole different world when it comes to working at a state level. And I don't know anyone, if it's Andrew or Terry or Adam.
Yeah, I can jump in there. I'll honestly say the three of us are a little unique because we don't deal with them as much. Because again, this is going back to why we created kind of the Indy Trail Collective and why we're creating these chapters is because, you know, like Southwest Way and Town Run are both the Indy Parks facilities, right? And so we're not dealing with DNR. Jason Hill, you know, and his team of volunteers at Fort Bend, you know, they do have a relationship, and that's actually, we've got a good relationship there. HMBA actually keeps all of our tools and, you know, our tents and all that kind of stuff at Fort Bend. They give us a place to keep everything in the old barracks. And I know a little bit, but like even statewide with working with DNR, you know, it's a good relationship. You know, it comes with challenges, obviously. You know, mountain biking can be inherently dangerous. The more difficult the trail, the more potential there is for someone getting injured. And then if you're in a remote location, and you have somebody injured, you got to get them out. Right.
Right.
So that's just something that, you know, we're aware of, and, it happens, but you know, those, and it's happened, it will happen again, but you know, it's no different than somebody hiking or riding a horse or doing whatever, like, you can get hurt doing anything. And just, you know, knowing that and, you know, proving now that, you know, we build and maintain trails that are safe in the sense that, you know, there aren't a lot of built features, if you will. We, on this call, I'll kind of laugh when Adam hinted to it earlier, like people always want features being built, you know, the wood, you know, jumps and skinnies and things like that. And, you know, the nice thing about building with stone and dirt and things like that, and the natural surface stuff is it is kind of inherently a little safer. So it's just, again, listening to those park managers and the folks at DNR, and, you know, anytime, you know, any of those trails on DNR property have been built, you know, they're flagged, and, you know, DNR walks in with the trail builders and make sure that they're, you know, not going through, you know, endangered species or anything like that. Right. That everything. And then we've proven to them through, you know, 20 plus years of stewardship for these trails that, you know, we build and maintain high quality trails, right? We're cognizant of drainage. You know, we get out there if trees fall to, again, try to, one, take care of the land, but also to keep it safe for all user groups.
Yeah. One thing I did learn with my previous job with NICA, and Terry probably remembers this, I went to trails all across the state and I surveyed them to determine if they were suitable to for children to race. And the biggest eye-opening requirement that I didn't even really think about really was EMS access. And you said it in a moment, you know, a moment ago, which was if somebody gets hurt, how do you get them out to somewhere safe, to a hospital, you know, level one trauma, whatever, you know, the level of, you know, the injury. And Brown County, I know that's not part of your group of trails, but Brown County was pretty difficult for that. They did not have good EMS access. And I told people at the park, you know, that that was the case. And it is really important safety because biking is very dangerous.
It's why too, if you start, you've noticed a trend, not just in obviously because we didn't come up with it here in Indiana, but kind of across the country. If you travel, you know, they're putting skill levels on it, right? Sometimes that skill level isn't necessarily due to, you know, the trail being more difficult. It has to do potentially with how remote it is, right? So again, it may not have anything to do with there being a jump or a drop or something like that, but more because it is further out.
Along the lines of that safety, 2 years ago, Southwest Way underwent a re-signage project, if you will. So all of the trail marker signs were either ripped out of the ground, tossed in the woods, or broken or faded, and you couldn't read them. So I spent a lot of time in Indy Parks, and we went around and made sure that everything was well marked and safed. And one of the ideas that we came up with together in coordination with the township fire department was to put waypoint markers on the top of the sign so that if you are in an intersection or you're close to a sign, you see somebody who's hurt, you can say, I am at this trailhead, and the abbreviation says ME1 at the top. And the fire department is supposed to have that GPS pinpointed to know that it's in this area of the park, and they may have special notes saying, I'm going to need a gator to get here. I'm going to need some special piece of equipment to get this person off the rock garden on the top of Man Hill, which has claimed several collarbones. But, you know, that's the type of safety that when we work with Indy Parks, you know, that's one of the considerations that we do. And, you know, sign projects like that, to get back to Andrew's point, we're all donation driven, right? That was about $3,000 worth of pieces and parts to get that sign updated in the park. So, it's just an important relationship, like you said, to work with Indy Parks and to make sure things are safe. And that's just a huge part of what we do. So,
and I hope our listeners are obviously, they gather that it does take a village to do all this stuff. And my next topic, since we've kind of talked about the different entities that each trail system works with, whether it's Indy Parks or DNR, state land, what are the volunteer situations? How can somebody get involved? I know you have Facebook groups and work days and you post schedules. I don't know who wants to talk about what is the best way for somebody if they're like, man, I want to get my hands dirty. I want a trail build, or I want to learn how to trail build so I can help maintain these trails that I ride on. How can they get involved?
Well, I'm going to take that to start and then everyone can add on, but I'm going to pause you and back up a step and say, we need volunteers in all aspects. The people who want to dig trail are equally as important as the people who want to run social media for us or seek out grants or drive around looking for corporate or business sponsors or organize volunteers. Like, we're trying really hard to push that. We need more than just dirt work to move into this next phase of like advocacy and where we really need to be. And so, you know, as we talk about this, don't, you know, throughout this next little bit about volunteerism, don't just be hung up on dirt work. If you are sitting here listening and you're like, you know what, I like to mountain bike or I like to bike, and I think I could add XYZ to this, reach out, because we're super open. Like, we are open to talking and tweaking and doing whatever. So I just wanted to start with that. And then I'll quick touch on how to get involved at Town Run. And then pop it over to Adam. So as far as, you know, the behind the scenes stuff, reach out to us on the Indie Collective Facebook page or Instagram, or reach out to one of us individually. Margaret can link our contact information, hopefully at the end. And then for Dirt Days, we at Town Run, we're going to do the last Saturday of the month. So whatever the last Saturday of the month is, we're going to do last Saturday at 9 a.m. And that's going to be head up by one of our trail bosses, which is kind of a new idea that we're putting into Town Run. Fred is going to head that up, and we're going to do a little summary on him on social media here shortly. He doesn't know that yet, but we're gonna. and Fred has volunteered to take on the role of kind of being that lead for the face of the dirt work, to hopefully free myself up a little bit, and Andrew up a little bit to focus on other things, but we'll still be there moving dirt too, because mm-hmm. love it too much.
Right.
Mm-hmm. So Adam.
Yeah. Like you just said, the majority of the social media posts will come from our Indie Trail Collective Facebook page. And then a lot of the trail systems have their own local Facebook pages as well. So I know this is all social media driven, but Southwestway's scheduled trail days through November are the second Sunday. So that's easy to remember. Second Sundays at 1:00. We have several trail boss assistants who are going to help out with that. Everything from dirt work, the end of May, we really start needing people who like to trim trails, who like to use a mower, who like to use things to get trees out of the way. I mean, there's so much work to do, and typically a few people to push a mower and a trimmer, and it gets overwhelming real fast. So, like you said, it's just a good way to give back to the trails that you love to use. We try to stagger these. So if you like to volunteer at Southwest Way, then you would like to go up to Town Run to do it as well. You can do both. So that's the easiest way to get involved. Just show up. We have tools. We can help you out. You may decide I like my rake better than yours. And, you know, we'll kind of walk you through the things to do on a trail, how to best maintain the trail corridor itself and the features that are in that corridor. So that's what we need help with the most.
That's great.
I'll add piggyback on that a little bit more real quick, Margaret. We don't have a schedule yet for the fort, but it'll be coming out at some point. We're going to Jason and us are going to work on that, and we'll get that out to everybody. We also, when May rolls around, I'm jealous of Adam's drink there. As May rolls around, we and the trimming gets really, really intense. We start to do what we call self-paced trimming. Mm-hmm. So, you know, if you've got your own weed eater, you can go out and do some weed eating. If you want to borrow one of the weed eaters that we own, you can do that. Or if you need loppers or whatever. But we just ask that you know, at least at first start sort of communicate with us, make sure you know where to trim and what to trim.
Sign the waiver.
and then also, it doesn't have to be just mountain bikers. Like last year, one of the people that did the most trimming, at Town Run, his name's Dan Courtney. He's an ultra runner. Mm-hmm. He also mountain bikes, but running is his passion, and he needed service hours for, an ultra race he was doing, which I thought was really cool. So he came out and did a ton of volunteer work at Town Run. And at the end of the, you know, he kept track of his hours, and we signed off and gave him a letter for him to enter his race. So, you know, we're open to working with whatever.
Yeah. Hey, those Nika kids, they need those trail hours.
Well,
show up with rakes. I love those little kids. I'm
like, yeah. So Margaret, you know,
real quick, right, buddy.
Real quick tangent for you. Mac is old enough for Nika this summer. So Terry's going back to Nika coaching. So, you know, those Nika kids are going to be out there digging dirt if I'm going to be out there coaching them.
For our listeners, that's how Terry and I met. And he was a coach supporter, a great coach, great person to work with. And I can't wait to see Mac race a bike and kill it.
Yep.
So, you said for the fort, cause I heard that name is, so there's no schedule for that. I don't know if anyone wants to add anything specifically for volunteer work and possibilities for that park.
Go ahead,
Andy. Not yet, but, keep in mind, it's kind of cool. So everything is evolving kind of as we speak. So Terry and Adam and some others behind the scene have been putting in a lot of work. And so some of this is, again, that's why we've said over and over again, and kind of needing the additional volunteers that isn't necessarily just dirt work, is like we have HMBA has a website. And right now HMBA's website has all these different chapters. And one of the things that we'd ultimately like to do is like get a calendar on there, right? So let's say somebody isn't on Facebook, they can go to the website, see when those sessions are, there's an info email that they can, send that'll get to the right person. Some other things like that. Even just this week, Terry and I were talking about, he's been making a lot of QR codes, which have worked really well. And we're like, we need to put a QR code at the trailhead. There's mm-hmm. a kiosk there that can drive, because again, not everyone's using Facebook and stuff. And so if people have ideas for that kind of stuff or want to get like, that's the kind of thing that we're trying to kind of elevate, the user experience, for all folks. Sure. So some of that will come up. So even like these scheduled work days, that's us kind of stealing ideas. And I know Adam and his crew have done that for a while, but Town Run is such a unique trail because it's in a floodplain that our work days were often very reactionary. It was like, hey, it flooded, the water came down, let's get in there and do it. And I'm sure we'll still have those.
Be around.
Right. Terry's nodding. Those will still be around. But again, it's again, trying to build this community piece of it. And we're looking at trying to do group rides and, some of these other things. So if folks have ideas and want to help, we can definitely find a seat on the bus.
Oh, there's more to talk about, I promise. But Adam?
Yeah.
One last thing about volunteering is also on our website, we have a tab for recording volunteer hours. And this is an important piece because as we advocate for, additional trails or new features or additional park trails, right? If there's a new park that we'd like to, get into, it's helpful for us to have this. We spent 3,300 volunteer hours last year helping Indy Parks maintain the system. And, this is an active advocacy group, so you should listen to us. So that's an important piece of this as well. And I would like to just kind of give a quick shout to the Indianapolis Hiking Club, who has become a really big part of my volunteer group at Southwestway. I think they were formed, was it 1959 or something like that? I mean, it's like the oldest hiking club in Indianapolis. And the current president, Debbie Buckles, has been a big advocate for Southwestway and Town Run and Fort Bend. And they actually go out and do trash pickup hikes, and they go around with trash bags and just pick up trash all day long. So that's been a big help and part of the volunteerism I've been fostering at Southwestway to get all these user groups involved. So if you volunteer, make sure to check out the website, log your hours. And I think we need to fact check this, but I think if you volunteer on a DNR property for so many hours a year, I think you get a free pass.
Ooh. Yeah, that is the case. But keeping in mind that obviously our two parks that we're
right,
Adam and I are not. Yeah. But like if you volunteer at the fort for and you log, I
can't remember how many hours.
I think it's 40 hours, but like you said, we got to fact check.
Yeah.
Good to know, though. Good to know. All right. Anything else about volunteering? You supply the equipment, show up with a smile, some muscle and bug spray.
Especially at Southwestway.
Oh, I'm never sure.
Kind of drinks you like for during and after.
I'm sure. Yeah. I'm sure. Yeah.
That's right.
Okay. My next topic is I'm going to kind of take us back, and we kind of talked a little bit about this earlier, but COVID. I want to talk about the good old COVID pandemic time. I always bring this up in my conversations and podcast episodes because it's something that I think impacted so many things in the cycling industry. And a little quick story, I remember I can't remember his name, but he was a director of the DNR, and he was explaining to me about how everyone was so upset when they closed Brown County down and no one could mountain bike. And everyone was like, well, it's outdoors. You're not going to be close to people. It's social distancing. But he was explaining to me, and somebody mentioned this already on the call, and he goes, Andrew, he was trying to explain to people, it's great that the parks are open during this time, or if we reopen them, but then you get a flood of people. You don't have enough staff to take care of things if something were to happen. And then you don't have somebody to take somebody out of the park if they get hurt. So like he talked about their rope system or their whatever, I don't know what it was called, but how people got injured immediately when they reopened the park. And there was this panic because there wasn't enough staff to successfully take care of somebody. And so I'm curious from your end, and if you were part of the parks or not during this time, but how did COVID impact the trail systems?
Southwest, yeah, saw an explosion of users down there. It's kind of an isolated gem, south side of Indianapolis, kind of the southwest side of Indianapolis, Greenwood, Center Grove, Southport area. There's nothing else down there. So all of these neighborhoods, all of these people just flooded into South Westway Park. And it became a real challenge to keep the park clean and maintain the trails. Things were just super, super busy. But what it also did was introduce a whole new group of people that there was even a trail system there. I got comments all the time. It's like, I always just saw the softball diamonds as I drove by. I never knew this was back here. I'm so glad I found it. So it just introduced a whole group of people to something that they weren't aware of was there before. And I think it's really helped the community grow.
Nice.
Yeah, it's funny to think about COVID and the good side of it, right? But I often talk about like how life slowed down and how much time we got to spend doing different things just because life was slower pace. For us at Town Run, COVID kind of brought some unique challenges in that we were right smack dab in the middle of forming our Town Run Advisory Council, which was kind of an Indy Parks ask. They wanted us to do that instead of just being HMBA. At the time, it was just HMBA really leading the charge, and they wanted to have other user groups involved. And we hit COVID, and all of our meetings turned to Zoom, and we couldn't get together. And it really, it created some challenges there. But Andrew is still trucking on with the advisory council. They meet a couple times a year, and they talk about all of the different user groups and how we can benefit the park. And it's kind of its own independent thing. It's not really a part of HMBA or Indy Trail Collective. But it is, there are a lot of members of those groups on there. And so it brought that extra level of communication, even though it was hard to communicate at the time. But yeah, holy cow. I mean, our parking lot can only hold so many cars at Town Run. We've got a small parking lot. It was full all the time. We were trying to get people to park down the street and ride in. It was a pretty crazy time, but man, it's really cool to see some of the people who started then out there shredding now. You know, they're doing hour and a half laps at Town Run in COVID time, and now they're out there knocking out 45-minute laps with a smile on their face and multiple laps and hanging out. And it's really been a cool thing to see people introduced through that.
Absolutely. Andrew, have anything to add during COVID?
No, not really. I mean, they already touched on it. Yeah, it's just the explosion. For me, it was the, you know, again, kind of going back to the families and kids and minority groups and stuff like that. I mean, you know, if there was anything and everything out there, from parents walking with their kids on Strider bikes on the trail to, you know, people dusting off, you know, like I ran into, a woman I know and her son, and she said it was like her first time getting her bike down since college or something. So it was really neat, and people were like, we had, again, kind of like Adam said, you know, people saying like, we had no idea this was here, right? They drive by, I mean, it's at 96 and Hazeldale, basically, is the intersection that Town Run, the main parking lot's at, and you know, it's a break in a guardrail as you drive by and cross the river, right? And like, people have probably driven by it, you know, or seeing it off of 465 and people
are like, waving people at them.
Yeah. And they're like, how do we get there? Cause it's stuck off the side of an interstate. Yeah. And, so that part was really cool. And just, you know, all the people, you know, you meet and you interact with, and, it was wild. I mean, as Terry said, like, you know, there were points in time where, you know, there were a line of cars down 96th Street waiting to turn into the park. I mean, it's just insane.
And we're talking about like 20 parking spots.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah.
Right. Yeah.
For our listeners, Town Run's parking lot is very, very tiny. And there's what, two little changing rooms, and there's a porta potty or two. And that's about it.
That's it. It's, you know, it's for being in a floodplain and what it is, it's a gem. And, you know, and I think people experienced it and they're like, this is pretty darn cool. This is right in our backyard.
Well, I'm glad that COVID impacted the trails, at least in the Indianapolis area, in a very great way. I know it did in a lot of different areas. And I guess my example of Brown County was just, a little bit of the background information that the different leaders at the state parks were kind of dealing with. But I agree. I saw it here in Terre Haute. You had people coming out to different parks and being like, what, there's a park down here? So it is a really great thing. So my next kind of topic that I have, and it's on my nice little list that Terry sent me. I kind of want to,
Adam and Andrew know all about my lists. Get them on the daily.
Yeah.
So glad you do it. I'm not that organized.
So mountain biking, as you know, from my background, from moving from Michigan to, you know, my previous job with NYCHA, is mountain biking is community and getting people on bikes, creating culture, getting people together, smiling outdoors, having fun outside. And I really see that what you're doing now, and especially from the time when Paul Arlinghouse was running it to now, I feel like there's a lot of life. And I feel like there's a lot of energy and great, you know, ideas that are being presented and being implemented. And so I do want to talk about how HMBA and the Indy Trail Collective is creating this culture and community to enhance the mountain bike world in the state, but also maybe lead as an example. Terry, do you want to talk about this? I know it because it's on your list.
Yeah, sure. So, you know, that's one of my big pushes here. I was a stereotypical 20-year-old motocross racing mountain biker guy's guy dude. And then I had a little girl and realized, like, holy crap, the world is not necessarily like inviting to everyone, right? I never saw that before, and she opened my eyes to it. And so one of my goals has been with this whole thing is like, I want to rebuild really bridges. Adam talked about the hiking club down there. I've reached out to Indy trail runners. I sent them a message and invited them to our meet and greet that we had. It's a good thing they didn't come because we had a few too many people anyways, as we got shut down. It's been like this super, super passionate thing for me. I want more women involved in mountain biking. I want more kids involved in mountain biking. I want, you know, people that don't look like me involved in mountain bike riding. And I want to ride bikes with them, and I want to hang out in the parking lot and drink out of cans, whatever liquid might come out of them, with those people. And so, like, I want to have, you know, my vision. So my vision stems from my experience. Imagination Glen Trail in Portage, Indiana, haven't lived up there in a long time, a Wednesday night group ride. And that molded me as a mountain bike rider. And everybody showed up with their after ride snacks and drinks. And some people rode one lap, some people rode two laps, some people, not me back then, holy cow, I could barely finish one lap at that point. But you know, some people would sit and ride three or four laps and show up right as everyone else was pulling out. But I mean, we would hang out in the parking lot for hours. It was that thing where you're looking at your watch like, man, I know I should go, but I'm just like having the greatest conversations of my life. And so I'd love to see that at our trails, right? Like the community piece. And so that's kind of one of my goals. Like we are going to have a weekly group ride, on the north side, which as far as I know, hasn't really officially successfully been done in a long time. A few groups have tried to start it up. I know there's a few smaller like friend groups that do their group ride, but I'm talking like invite to everybody. Let's all go out and ride. The fast dudes can go in front. The slow people can go in back. People with kids, whatever. Everybody show up. The kids can run around in our little grass area afterwards. You know, we can hang out and talk and share stories and like beyond mountain biking. You know, really, really, really want to see that kind of community. And so that's what I'm pushing for.
In Michigan, how I started mountain biking was I found this group, a bike shop called KLM. And they're out of, I think, Rochester Hills, but they had the hot dog ride and they would go to different trails in the Metro Detroit area, ride bikes, ride trails, no drop, and then grill hot dogs and drink beverages in cans afterwards. And it was just a really fun way to meet people. And, you know, it's funny when you tell people, oh, I do this hot dog ride, you know, and it's like I said, it was a way to meet people, but also feel included when you're riding with the super fast cross country riders. Mm-hmm. Adam and Andrew, do you want to add anything?
I was going to add, you said bike shops are an important part of this. On the south side, we partner with Grey Goat Cycle Company. And like I said, I'm on the Grey Goat cycling team. So last year, we started a Monday night bike ride, starts at 6 o'clock at the park. Everybody's welcome, no drop ride. And several of the team members, you know, support the different levels of groups. I am not one of the fast guys, so I do not hang with the fast people. I'll let those crazy people take off by themselves. And we started out, it was like 6 or 8 people would show up Monday night. And by the end of the season last year, it grew. We had some bike rides, there were 25, 30 people on the bike ride, some for the first time on Walmart bikes or whatever, that we would help them kind of learn the trails, learn kind of how to avoid obstacles and how to handle bikes safely. So it was a great way to get all these people involved, and it has really grown. I'll expect it to grow more next year. And now being on the HMBA board and part of the Indy Trail Collective, we're going to partner next year with Grey Goat at Southwest Way, and you know, maybe provide those you know, hot dogs and canned beverages that which will be a surprise to the people listening to this because they don't know that I'm going to do that, but you know, just
beer.
You know, corporate sponsorship may be coming. That just kind of helps initiate people, get them excited about cycling. One of our riders last year was a young woman who was just out of college and would pack her bike in the trunk of her car at work and then hustle over to get there as fast as you can. She usually showed up about 6:15, 6:30. We knew to do a single lap around the hill and wait for her to get there and get ready. So just fostering that kind of growth in ridership is an important part of our community. So I look forward to this year. I think it's going to be a really good year. One of the success stories we did have at the end of the Dino season last year, 3 of our first time riders participated in their very first Dino race at Southwest Way. That was just a nice thing to watch, right? It's to have these people grow and not be comfortable enough to enter a race for the first time. Yeah. So that kind of stuff was really fun. Yeah. Really enjoyed that part.
Andrew, you have anything else?
Yeah. I mean, the sentiment that they both shared is 100% how I feel, but I want to touch briefly on too, is a bit back to the history, but like, we, you know, the three of us on this call are very fortunate that, you know, when we joined and were able to, I guess, share our passion and try to take this to the next step, the trails were already there, right? And we're taking care of them. So you mentioned, you know, Paul Arlinghouse, and I consider Paul a friend, and you know, what he did for access for mountain bikers in the state of Indiana should not be overlooked. And there were others, Alex Stewart, who owns Spectrum Trail Design here in town, professional trail builder, you know, travels all over, has built the Dragon Trail in Michigan and
a bunch of fun trail.
Has built a ton of stuff at Brown County and things like that. Those were the OG, you know, original people that were the advocates that really, that got mountain biking on the map in this state. And so all of us now, again, this is an evolution, right? And I just think it's really cool. I'm an introvert by nature. So I have a really small circle. And I do really well on like one-on-one, you know, conversations and things like that. And I love, but one of the things that I find a ton of joy in is sharing the joy of cycling. So getting new people into it and things like that. I've done that. I got my banker to try mountain biking with me once. Like I've done dead serious. I've taken an employee mountain biking. I got my wife into mountain biking who still
rides. Yeah, there's a win.
Right. Yeah. So I dragged my kids along. So I have a ton of fun of that. And so that fills my bucket in a big way, is seeing somebody get to experience nature in that manner, because it is such a unique experience, right? At least me, I run as well, but when I run, I'm breathing through my eyeballs, right? And you don't get to experience nature in the same the same way, right? On a bike, you know, the sounds, you know, the smells, all that kind of stuff, you know, you're moving. Like for me, it's almost the closest thing to flying as I feel like it could be, right? So I know how much it means to me. So if I can share it with other people, I get a ton of joy in that. Absolutely. And so that's really, what I'm hoping to do is take the history, take the resources that we were fortunate to have in the state. Would we like to add to them? Hell yes. You know, and we can make that argument. And that's obviously from the volunteer standpoint. And as Adam was saying, like tracking our hours, we want to have our ducks in a row such that, you know, maybe in the future, maybe it's not in the next year or two, but in the future, we've got a seat at the table and we can advocate and hopefully get more trails and more access and things like that. And obviously the more folks that we can bring in, you know, into the fold and enjoy doing this, the better chances we have of doing that.
Absolutely. So I have a couple more questions. I promise. I don't want to keep you all night. what are some struggles? I know we already talked a little bit about just getting volunteers and people involved. Obviously, maybe you talked a little bit about maybe people riding when they shouldn't be riding and causing ruts and maybe damage on the trails. What are some struggles that we can talk about for our listeners, just to have an insight?
Let me bounce off of one of Andrew's comments with a plus, and then we'll roll into the struggles. So Alex Stewart, Spectrum Trail Design here in Indy, O'Bannon Woods, which is one of our HMBA chapters down south, just got awarded a $20,000 grant, and they have the matching funds to put another $20,000 towards that to pay Alex Stewart to build more trail down there. And Alex has always treated HMBA well, discounts high for us, and builds awesome trail. And I bring that up before struggles because while you know, people riding closed trails is a struggle, honestly, this year it hasn't been, at least not yet, as bad as it has in the past. And that's just an education piece. But what our biggest struggle is at the moment is people seeing value in HMBA membership and understanding what we're talking about today, that this is where we're going. And so funds are our biggest struggle. We currently have 93, actually. My mom's going to join because she's rad. 93 indie trail collective, indie-based HMBA members. So the way that works is you join HMBA, it's $39. We'll talk a little bit about that, but you join HMBA and you select your trail system, and then you're a part of that chapter that trail system, you know, your local trail system is. We have a few people who are just overall HMBA members, but a majority fall into the Tippecanoe, the Indy, and the Albanan chapter. And so, you know, we've got 92 members at the moment. When Brown County merged off and went into its own 501c3 to really be able to focus locally, and you know, that's a huge success story in itself. A lot of people always considered themselves a supporter of HMBA by funding, because they would go to the Epic every year at Brown County and they would pay their money. And then the funds raised at the Epic were kind of dispersed across the state, across all of HMBA's trail. And so the Epic was really a fundraiser for everything. And, you know, Brown County is exploding and growing and growing and growing. And so they are their own 501c3, and that's their fundraiser. And so right now, our biggest fundraiser, you know, we're looking towards events in the future, but our biggest fundraising aspect right now is membership. And so membership is $39. You join HMBA, every single cent of that $39 comes to the Indy Trail Collective. So if you're an Indy based person and you join HMBA and select an Indy Trail, all $39 come to the people you're listening to make sure that it's going to the right place. But if you math that out, you know, we're at right round it to 100. That's, you know, $4,000 that we're managing roughly 30 miles of trail per year. I mean, it's real hard, and people want features and people want more. But we're really having a struggle with getting people to buy in and join. And I think that that's because people don't see the value. And so, you know, Andrew, I have your list, but I'll let you speak to, you know, the costs and why that value is super important.
Yeah. I think it's just, again, it's an unknown, right? So I think there's a lot of users, whether they're bikers or hikers or whatever, that just presume because there's an Indy Park sign there that it's funded and maintained by parks, and it's not. There's zero money coming into the actual maintenance of the trail from the parks. They do support us in mowing the lots, and, you know, the grass in up by the lot, and trash cleanup and the portalettes. But in terms of the actual trail corridor itself, that's all done with volunteer dollars. So I tried, you know, I kind of put together numbers is what I do. So, you know, like $39, like that's not a small amount of money, but in terms of what that goes to, that's a single chainsaw chain and a tank of fuel. So if we get a storm like blew through last night, like I'm sure people haven't been at Town Run yet, but I guarantee not. There's right. You better not. Yeah. They, you know, I guarantee there's trees down. Right. And so, you know, Terry or David or any of the people that are chainsaw certified hike out there on their own time. They're not paid for it. They're volunteers, but they're carrying a chainsaw, you know, that was paid for by HMBA. By donations, by member dollars, you know, with a chain and fuel and everything, and clear those trees out. And usually it's done within, you know, usually less than 48 hours, it seems like, after we open the trails. I mean, they do a tremendous job at that. And, you know, that's the kind of the dollars and cents of it, I think, that gets overlooked. And then there's the very unsexy side of it that is the business and litigious side of that is the world we live in today. And like, we have to carry liability insurance, right? For, you know, the trail volunteers and things like that, that costs thousands of dollars a year. That's why HMBA is kind of this cost share. You know, we have to pay for insurance and as part of a 501c3, and we pay for a QuickBooks subscription and, you know, and all that kind of stuff. So, you know, it takes money. So that's the piece that I'm not great at asking for money, but it's important to talk about and know that where that money goes and why it's important.
Any other, struggles?
Getting volunteers is always a struggle. You know, yeah. Getting members is a struggle, but I have a good solid thought that with us leading the way and this new restructure and everything, that we're going to be there. But getting volunteers is always a struggle. And as someone who lives a busy schedule, I understand that oftentimes it's time, right? It's hard to get out. But even if, you know, if you can throw that on your calendar for one of our work sessions and come out and really help out, that it's so huge. I don't know when the best time to mention it is, but we're going to roll out, and it's actually on our, it's on our trail workday posts. We started an Amazon wish list. So like, let's say you're a member or not, and you can't come out and volunteer that day, and you feel like, I really want to give back. You know, you could pop on there and buy like a can of premixed fuel or a chainsaw chain or a pair of loppers or, you know, like chainsaw chaps, because they wear out, chainsaw helmets, because we need our people protected. And so we've got this Amazon wish list that's linked on our social media. And so people can, we're just trying to find ways for people to give back in their own way.
Sure. No, that's great.
And I think too, fostering those community relationships, like I have with the Annapolis Hiking Club, with the Equestrian Club on the South Side, that we added this year, thanks to them, if they're listening, that, you know, it's important for us to give exposure to the volunteer efforts. A lot of them don't understand that it is not Indy Parks maintaining trail systems, that they're not funding things, that it is all volunteer effort, and a lot of times unsupported volunteer effort. For example, I used my own personal lawnmower for about 4 years until it died last year, right? And so based on those volunteer dollars that we had, we were able to buy two new lawnmowers for Southwestway this year. So it's an important piece to be able to help support these trails. If you ride them, hike them, run them, whatever, to support the trails that you love so much by the people who are maintaining and helping you advocate for those trails. So it's an important piece that sometimes it gets overlooked. So sometimes folks say, you know what, I volunteer all the time, that's my donation. Well, that also does kind of, you should support the trails that you support. You should help the people helping you. And as we're trying to show more value in the things we do, we hope that that drives more support from our volunteers. So like everybody has already said, yes, it's a necessary evil here to ask for money, but that is the world we live in, and we need to be able to supply things for our volunteers and run the organization as best we can. So
there's a cost to everything. Yeah, and it's tax. Yeah, it's tax write-off too.
One of the things, Jason Wise, the overall HMBA president, he's the head of the O'Bannon chapter down there, and the HMBA president, and the way he worded it to me, just to kind of sum up what Adam said, is it's important to support your weekday trails as it is your weekend trails. A lot of people are like, well, I have to pay to go to Brown County because I got to buy a state park permit, or I got to pay to get into Versailles or Versailles, however you want to say it. I have no idea. Or I got to pay to get into Sandy Creek, or I'm going to, you know, I got to pay all this money to go to Bentonville, or I got to, you know, whatever. But you got to support your weekday trails too, or they're not going to be there.
Yeah.
And so just keeping in mind that those weekday trails are maybe more important than the weekend trails.
Definitely. So to kind of recap a little bit, HMBA.org is the website. I'll put all the information in the description of the podcast, but join, $39. Membership goes all towards HMBA, whether it's insurance, the different administrative services that need to happen, to even buying chainsaws, to fuel, to weed whack and take care of the trails. Is there anything else that you want to talk about that I haven't talked about? Because one, we're almost hitting 90 minutes and I want to make sure you guys have your evening. And then also I have one more question we're going to end on. So anything else that I missed from the list?
I think I just want to reiterate, you know, it's in our new logo, which we themed after the 500, but you know, we're here for y'all to build, ride, advocate. And so, you know, the three of us are passionate about that, as everyone else is. So build with us, ride with us, advocate with us.
I like it. Okay. Put your thinking caps on, boys. What is your best memory, favorite memory that you can think of, whether it's just personally on a mountain bike or working with HMBA and being a trail boss? I know that's tough. I know. You got 4 minutes before the Zoom call ends.
Ooh, favorite memory.
Yeah. One minute per person.
All right. My favorite memory on a mountain bike is just all the memories mixed together in one replay in my head of riding with my family. The family aspect and riding with my family makes it for me.
Nice.
Mine is my oldest daughter was the first that we've bought all the things, hook, line, and sinker, to be able to take our kids riding. And there's one called an Ivert where they sit in front of you, basically like between your chest and the handlebars. And she was about 2 years old. And I was coming up the only climb that is at Town Run, coming underneath 465. And these guys were stopped at the top. And one of them was like, I told you I heard it. And, my daughter was singing Wheels on the Bus as we were riding through the woods. And that trail, you pass people all the time, going the opposite direction through the woods. And so you can't necessarily see them, but you can hear them. And, apparently they heard her singing, and
that's awesome.
I thought that was the coolest
thing. That's great. They're like, I'm awesome. Hearing things. All right,
right. And
what's your favorite memory?
Maybe it's these guys, because my family thinks I'm crazy and they don't ride. So
it's never too late.
Trust me, I've tried. being out in the woods with your buddies, right? It's just that reminder that there are still these times when you can be a kid again. You can go out, you can play in the dirt, you can hurt a little bit, you're gonna have a great time. Stop and smell the bluebells, the whatever's out there, especially the honeysuckle. It's just such a good feeling to get out, be with your friends, sweat a little bit. And enjoy nature and just be there, I guess. Just be in nature, be a part of the world.
Yeah.
And put your phone down.
Yeah.
Put your phone down. Be there.
Well, gentlemen, Terry, Adam, and Andrew, the Indie Trail Collective, which is a chapter of HMBA, really stoked to have this discussion. I will edit the podcast. And I want to reiterate what Terry said: build, ride, and advocate. Join HMBA, the Indy Trail Collective. Get involved today. 3 amazing trails in the Indianapolis area that you can either ride, hike, or just volunteer and be part of. Again, I appreciate everyone's time tonight, and I really hope that our listeners enjoy this discussion and hopefully get involved with your organization today.
Thank you for everything you do for cycling in Indiana. This is an amazing thing that you do. Thank you so much.
Yeah. Hey, really, I'm learning a ton, huh?
Ditto what Adam said. Thank you for inviting us to be part of this.
Definitely. I hope everyone has a great night, and I hope to see you on the trails. Hey, thanks for tuning in. We hope you really enjoyed this podcast. For more information about our organization and other future podcasts, visit www.bicycleindiana.org. Thanks for tuning in. We hope you have a really great day.